similar interesting
yes.
concepts, which will blow your mind. Okay? So, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. If you ever went to a chasna with Rabbi Einar Mirzatzal.
I don't think I did.
Okay, so you notice this really strange phenomenon. So, in the Silverstein crowd, let's say the young Israel crowd, etc., when the chasna kala walked down, everybody stands up for the chasna. Everybody stands up for the kala. Rabbi Einar would not stand up. He remained seated.
Mm-hmm.
Because it tells nobody stood up for the chasna kala. As a matter of fact, the first time I ever saw my life, people said it was a Kala was when I came here. Like, what have you done for the Kala before? So what was the argument? The argument was, well, Chasson Devil the Melk. So Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal was asked this question in regards to something else. They Rabbi Yaakov held when you would daven Mincha, let's say, by the Chasson Tish, the Kabbalah Sponim, Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal would say Tachanun. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a chassid. Well, he's not a chassid yet. He becomes a chassid under the chuppah when he does the act of nesu'in. That he's a chassid.
Wouldn't take say tachanun in the morning? Oh, I'm sorry.
You say tachanun in the morning.
Yeah.
Of the chassid.
Wow.
Right. You say tachanun by mincha when the chassid's there. So Rabbi Yaakov said even if it's by the chuppah, by the chassid hall itself.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
And every, oh, right. So they daven mincha. It's a summer
kasta,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like you know, 6 o'clock at night. It's bright outside. Say daven mincha there.
Right.
You ever say anybody say tachanun there?
No.
No. Rabbi Yaakov said you say tachanun. Why are you not saying tachanun? Because he's a chassan. He's not a chassan. He's a guy who will be a chassan.
Right.
You know, because the word chassan, the honest use of the word chassan, doesn't mean a guy who's engaged. It means a person who has the status of a chassan, which starts under the chuppah.
Right.
So you say, well, chassan doesn't matter. He's standing for a chassan. He ain't no chassan yet when he walks down that aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. But what's interesting is that Rav Avdi Yosef has a tshuva. He talks about being seated during the chuppah.
Mm-hmm.
He says the minig in Kahir in Cairo was they would stand. The whole sefer would stand during the chuppah.
Mm-hmm.
He says the minig in Salonika, the Knesset Gedolah writes the minig in Salonika, Greece, was the whole sefer would stand during the chuppah. Mm-hmm. Rav Avdi brings the minig Yerushalayim is they stand during the chuppah. He says, so why do we stand during the chuppah? And he said, the question, the Shoyl's question, the person who asked the question, his question was, if I see somebody seated, do I have to tell them to stand up? That was the question.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. And he comes out, yes. Because you have a chiyuv to stand. But why do you have a chiyuv to stand? You have a chiyuv to stand for two reasons. First of all, chosim daim al melech. So he says, when the chosim walk down, he's not a chassan yet, so he can be seated. But when he's under the chuppah doing the mitzvah of the chasta, now he's a melech. You don't sit in the melech standing here also seated. That's not proper.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to stand during the chuppah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Furthermore, he says, he tells to a mishnah in Masechtas Bikurim. So you go to a bris, you know they finish davening and people are standing around, some people are sitting, etc. All of a sudden you hear them say, Kvater! And everybody stands up. Why are they standing up? What's that about that we stand up when we do a bris?
Mm-hmm.
So, interestingly enough, the Rav in the Shnayis in Masechtas Bikurim, the mishnah over there in Masechtas Bikurim says that when the Mishnah says that when people would bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so the shopkeepers and the artisans, the craftsmen in Yerushalayim would stand up in honor of the people who are bringing Bikurim. So the Rav says, we have a rule at Bali Umnas Chazal, because of their need to be focused on their work, Chazal relieves them from the key of standing up for Talmud Chacham when Talmud Chacham walks by. So for Talmud Chacham walks by, they stay seated. Shmero Lama Oritz walks by carrying a bad basket of Kerma. Oh, like, what's shot? Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. Since the Chazal said that doing the moment of a mitzvah has a special chashivas to it, so Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. So therefore, in the honor of the people which are going to do the mitzvah bikurim, we stand up in their honor. Says, and then the Rav continues, says, and that's why we have a minhag to stand up for the noisei tatinuk the bismila. We stand up in honor of the people which are bringing the child in. Instead of standing up, people think you're standing up in honor of the child. Instead of standing, you're standing up in honor of the kvater who's bringing the child to do the mitzvah. So Ravadia says that if that is true, while the Chas Kala doing the mitzvah of getting married and saying the Sheva Brachas, and they're doing this mitzvah, and it's a shaita, we expect everybody else to stand as well. Right? Now, I would have expected him to say the following, which he doesn't say. The Rav does not say this, and Rav does not say this either. If we stand up in honor of the Kvater, who's bringing the child to do the mitzvah, just like we stand up in honor of the maybe the person who's bringing the Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, he's not doing the mitzvah yet. Right? The mitzvah is to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. Well, he's in the midst of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. That would not be called. You find a concept, let me start that sentence again. You find a concept in different places in the Gemara called Hechsher Mitzvah. There's the actual mitzvah itself, and the things which are necessary to prepare for the mitzvah, to make it mukhsher, make it ready and able to be take place. For example, the Chagos Zutin, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether the Hechsher Mitzvah of Mila is Necha Shabbos. Mila is Necha Shabbos, even though Mila is making a wound and causing something to bleed, and those are the melachas which will be also on Shabbos, but Mila is Necha Shabbos. Let's say my knife is not sharp. I need to sharpen the knife. I need to carry the knife.
Can't be Mechal Shabbos to do that.
So Rabbi Eliezer says that the tikkunim you need, the Hechsher Mitzvah that you need to make the Mila possible is Necha Shabbos. So Chachamim say no. So that's called Hechsher Mitzvah. Okay, so what is the status of carrying Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash? Is that Hechsher Mitzvah or is that actually the Mitzvah? The Mitzvah is to bring the Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. So every step that you're taking, you're doing the Mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Or no, the Mitzvah is to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. Mm-hmm. So until you get there, you don't do a Mitzvah yet. Mm-hmm. So the Mitzvah is the Mila, is the Mitzvah bringing the child to the Mila. So that's an interesting question. Tosfos comes along and says, in Masechtas Kedushin, that the moral comes out from a pasuk that the mother is not chayiv in the midst of Mila, only the father. So all the Rishonim ask the question, I don't understand. We have a rule that the mitzvah says Shazman Groma, the positive mitzvah, which is time bound, women are potter. So since Bris Mila is a time bound mitzvah, it's on the eighth day, so why don't we argue that of course women are potter, because it's a mitzvah, say it's a positive mitzvah, positive commandment, which is Zman Groma, which is time bound. So why don't we argue that women are potter based on that? Why do we need a special pasuk to tell me women are potter? That's Tosfos Kash. So there are multiple truths. In one teretz Tosfos gives, Tosfos says, because the mitzvah does not start on the eighth day. The mitzvah is to make sure the mitzvah is to make sure the child has a bris milah. That starts as soon as the child is born. You arrange with the moel. Mm-hmm. You make all the arrangements. That's all part of the mitzvah. That's not hechsher mitzvah. Because your chiyuv is not to do the mila per se. Your chiyuv is to make sure the child has a meal. Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting question. You know, is it some of them are annoying that they tell the father, make me a shliach to do the mila for your child. I'm your agent. Do you need to appoint the moral is a shliach, or there's no need for a shliach because the mitzvah is not to do meal. The mitzvah is to make sure the child is nimlo. Mm-hmm. So therefore, as long as I made sure that it happens, I've done my mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So that's machlokes. Whether there is opinion of shlichus by the case of meal or not. We're getting back to over here. So now the child, the father is bringing the child to do the meal. See, if the mitzvah makes sure the child is nimble, carrying the child is part of the mitzvah. It's not a hechsher mitzvah. It's actually part of the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The Rav is comparing the bringing the bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, what the pasuk says, you should take your bikurim and bring them from your house up to the Beis Hamikdash. And then you do these things in the Beis Hamikdash. So the mitzvah is havoah's bikurim, bringing the bikurim. So he's already doing the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you want to compare the kvat to that, you have to understand that we're saying that the act of bringing the child to the mila is also part of the mitzvah. Otherwise, what's the comparison? This is the actual mitzvah, and this is just a hechsher mitzvah. Okay, why am I saying that? We find that that the chassan kala are walking down to do the mitzvah. They didn't do it yet, but they're on their way to do a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same as the kvater, who's on the way to bring the child for the meal. If you say you stand for the kvater, you should stand for the chassan. Mm-hmm. He's saying, no, you don't stand for the chassan beforehand, because that's not the mitzvah yet. The mitzvah is when he's acting under the chuppah. Mm-hmm. So, well, why do you stand for the kvater then? Mm-hmm. But there's the difference is he's understanding the mitzvah. The mitzvah of meal is not the actual meal, like Tosfos says. It's mm-hmm. all of the bringing the child to be nimo. Mm-hmm. So everything which you're doing is all part of the mitzvah. It's not just mm-hmm. hashra. Mm-hmm. Now it's not Tosh Shabbos because it's hashra. You could have done those things before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The way the Tosfos is learning. So, getting back to over here, so we come out of where Rabbi is pointing out that the Iker Minig was that people would stand during the Chuppah, but not prior to the Chuppah. So here we are again, and our custom, I won't call it a Minig, I won't give it the honor of being called the Minig, because it's not a Minig, it's a custom, is that we stand before the Chuppah, and during the Chuppah, we sit. There you go again. Klal Yisrael does interesting things, right? Right? Mamash, the opposite of the way Halacha would look at it. Right? Mamash, the opposite. So, at least the Litvaks, which an Aison tells, they do not stand beforehand. Because mm-hmm. no reason to stand beforehand. And Bashas Maisa. So he brings one explanation, maybe why Bishas Maisa they would be seated. He brings that the Grim Toledano, I'm not sure what it's for, that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Toledano wrote that there was a minig to have people seated in a place where there's avuvia, when there's not a clear distinction between the men and the women. So when everybody's standing, they tend to come more together, and you don't say Sher Brachas in a makom of Avuvia because the Rosh was unhappy. But if you're seated, there's a little more distinct. So Rabbi says, but that wouldn't be relevant nowadays. We keep them, you know, men on one side, women on the other side. So that concern with the longer Rosh balance, we can have the men standing on one side, women standing on the other side. So that answer why the people are seated to keep this distance would not be a relevant consideration nowadays. But that's the point that he says. Okay. So that's the second example of things which people sometimes take a let's best say that they take a toffel and they make it the ikker, mm-hmm. and they take the ikker and make it a toffel. Right? Okay. Another interesting example, this is not exactly, you know, different topic, is Shalach Manos. So I don't know whether you were taught this, but many people were taught, especially when they were younger, that Shalach Manos, the mitzvah is to give one Shalach Manos to one individual, and it has to have two portions in it, two manos in it. Right? So it has to be two manos. Right? So what does it mean, two manos? So many people were told it should be two different brachas. Were you taught that? Mm-hmm. Right? See, were you taught that? Two different brachas?
No,
good. Good for you. Right? So
it only has to be two different types of food.
Good. Excellent. You're way ahead of me, see. Right? So, on the other hand, people will give small items. The Rambam says that if you gave two monos of basar, two portions, monos is like a portion, two portions of meat, you fulfill Shalach Manos. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, what makes it two manos of basar? Maybe it should be different. It should be severely different cuts of meat. Mm. Or, you know, so it's a white chicken, a piece of white chicken, a piece of dark chicken, would be two manos. Because you'll have one for one meal, one for another meal, so it's two manos. Mm-hmm. So there's no requirement, that clearly from the Rambam's language, that he says two manos of basar. I've never made two brachas on a meat. The bracha, both of them, is Shnei Hakol. So there's no requirement for different monos, different brachas, but we need to be careful about the fact that it's a different mono, it's an actual portion.
So, excuse me, so it just could be a distinct portion of the same thing, though?
So we don't, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's not, that's would not be sufficient because okay. what defines it as a separate moment. But if it's different cuts of meat, mm-hmm. so I send you a rib steak and I send you a chuck steak, okay, so I send you two, but it has to be a month, it's a portion.
Okay.
So I remember one time a bacher suggested, it says, you know, he actually gave somebody shalom amanus. It was a peanut and a raisin. Right? So it's two brachas, right? Raisin is eights, peanut is a doma, two brachas, and it's two things. So I pointed out that it has to be two monos. It has to be two portions. So I would very hard put to describe a peanut as a portion or a raisin as a portion. And so here we are again, being mapped on two brachas, but not on two monos. Mm-hmm. Well, really, the main issue is not two brachas at all. The main issue is two monos.
Right.
Okay. It's another example of interesting things that people do. Okay. Another one, which I found interesting, that you'll see. There's interesting issue that raised in halacha about the amen and the bracha of Goal Yisrael by Shabbos. Gemara, we say amen after Goal Yisrael, we say amen after Shemir Moisel Loat, we say amen by Ashkenazim, we say amen after Melech Bichvoy Doi, and then we say Kaddish, and then we daven Shemir. So we're allowing for interruptions between Geula and Tefillah. By Shabbos, we do not allow for interruptions between Geula and tefillah. Because the Gemara has a very strong stress that we should be masmech geula the tefillah into Yerushalmi to support why that's so important. The Bible learns it out from the Pasuk. The end of Tehillim, the end of Kapitel Yotes, is Hashem Tzuri v'Goyali. And then the beginning of Kapitel Chav is Yancha Hashem v'Yotzar. So, which is that we dive into the world, the person should answer. So we say Gula, Tefila, immediately one to the next. So what do you do to answer? Do you answer main to the bracha of Gal Yisrael? So while you're in the middle, if you're behind the chazan and you have not completed Gal Yisrael at the same time, but before the chazan gets there, you're in the middle of the paragraph, really the long paragraph of Emes V'Yatziv. Which that paragraph starts with Emesiyatzi but ends off with Ruchat Hashem Goal Yisrael. So if you're behind the chazan, so you don't answer the main. You know the paragraph of Brit Shema, you don't answer. Let's say you finish before the chazan, but you have a social Emesiyat, so you can answer a main theoretically. But it's going to be a hefsek between Goal Yisrael, your Ruchat Goal Yisrael, and davening. But what about if you answer at the same time, you finish at the same time as the chazan? So, do we ever have the same issue? We use this argument for the bracha of Habacher Moisel Bahavo, or the bracha of Baimar Oheva Mo Yisrael. The Tzibur finishes at the same time as the Chazan. They don't answer a main. Because the rule is, you don't, for Ashkenazim, you don't answer a main in your own bracha. And now you do not answer a main in your own bracha. Maybe if somebody else is saying the bracha at the same time as you, you don't answer main other. It shouldn't look like you're answering main in your own bracha. The Sardim will say main in their own bracha at the end of a unit of brachas. So you ever go to a Sardi minyan, Eduta Mizrach minyan, after Pesukah Zimra starts the bracha of Baruch Shomar, ends with the end of Yishtabach, and the chazan will say, "Habachemer shenizin ra, melech ger acher ramim, amen." They say amen to the whole bracha because it's part of a unit. Pesukah Zimra, there's a bracha before, there's a bracha afterwards, and the Pesukah Zimra. We do an invention. The first two brachas are deraisa. We say amen, but Abraham Yishalayim amen. Then we start with the next paragraph. Why do we do it over there? Over here, we do it, even though I'm saying Menuhel Bracha, to differentiate between the brachas, the rice of brachas, the rabbah. But the lacha is that even Ashkenazim do not enter into their own bracha, even when it's the end of a unit, but this is what we do. If we say it together with the chazan, which we said, if you say it together with somebody else, you don't answer a main, when it's the end of Yuna, we do. So if I finish Yishtabach at the exact same time as the Chazan, I do say Amen. So if I finish other brachas at the same time as the Chazan, I don't say Amen. So where do we do that? So we say it by end of Yishtabach. If I finish right, the Melech Kel Chei Olamim, Melech Kel Yochid Chei Olamim, whatever I say, if I say Olamim the same time as the Chazan, I answer Amen. By Ma'ariv, Shemir Amo Yisrael Ovad, same time as the Chazan, I say Amen. Habachemar Yisrael Ba'avo, or Habachemar Yisrael, I don't say Amen when I finish the same time as the Chazan. Because it's not the end of a unit. The unit is all four, my Ma'ariv is all four, because that we're masakin four brachas for Birchas Kriyashma. Because that we're masakin, so I finish all four. The fifth one was added by the Gardner. So I finish the unit, I say Amen. Even though we don't say Amen in our own brach. And we don't say Amen when we finish the same time as somebody else. But when you have the two together, where it's I finish the same time as somebody else, and even the Kronos Hamshita is a lot of it, it's the end of the unit, I say Amen. So by Shachar is at the end of Yishtabach, by Ma'ariv after Shemim Yisulavat, by Hallel, you start with the bracha. You end off with the Melech Mehullah Tishbacha. He said, I finish the same time as the Chazan, I say Amen. So now, I get to Gaal Yisrael. Gaal Yisrael is the end of a unit. There's three brachas, Birchas Kriyashma in the morning. Yitzhar, first bracha. The second bracha is Abba Rabba, Abba Salem. And the third bracha starts with Emes Yatsi, and ends with Baruch Hashem Gaal Yisrael. So I finish the same time as the Chazan. So that works to take away my issue of answering Amen for Habachim and Meisel Be'avo. It doesn't work over here. Over here is the end of the unit. So if I don't want to answer Amen, it shouldn't be interruption. Saying the same time as the Chaz is not a solution. So what's the solution? So some people, they say the Chaz says a choir. In order to deal with this issue of addressing the problem that it's going to be questionable whether you answer Amen over here, say quietly, so nobody has to deal with the issue.
What? The Gaal Yisrael Mashach.
Gaal Yisrael Mashach. Now, comes along Repentin. Repentin writes in a tshuva. That's incorrect. That's incorrect to do that. Because this man, what's the guy doing about Alma Bitter? What's he doing exactly?
Helping be motzi people who can't daven.
So the original Takana was to be motzi people which can't daven. Now, nowadays, we're all davening with him. We don't have him be Moitzius. But the original Dekana is still veiled that his job is to be Moitzi people. Now, if he's supposed to be Moitzi people, he can't daven quietly. So you go to the, again, you go to the Svaradim, the Chazan says the whole bracha out loud from beginning to end. People say along with him. But, so this way, if there's somebody who can't read, he can listen to the Chazan and be Yotze. Well, we don't do that. So Hanukkah says, you know what? A lot of the bracha is not required to be yotze to the bracha. But there is a rule that the psicha, the chasima, are required. The beginning of the bracha is required. So if the chazan's job is to yotze everybody else, so he can't say either of those quietly. Mm-hmm. So that's why you'll go to some shul, you'll see some chazanim, some bali tefila, baruch hu. And then they say the bracha to Hashem alakenim alchalom yitzor berichurshav aseshlom arisagol. They say out loud. Why do they do that? Some chazanim don't say out loud.
It's done in Rosh Hashanah.
The Rosh Hashanah Kippur, but you know some chazanim do it the whole year. Now people are davening already, but he's saying it out loud. Why is he doing that? Because according to Rambam, that's the halacha. He has to say it out loud. See, even though the paragraphs, everything else in the middle, he says quietly. He says beginning the paragraph yitzor berichurshav aseshlom arisagol out loud. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Baruch Ata Hashem, Yotzei Ha'Maariv, out loud. So he said the beginning and the end of the bracha out loud. Okay, good. Now, so Rav Hanukkah says, saying God, you're so quietly, you're going connected to the Takana of a Chazan. The Chazan's supposed to say out loud, and you're saying quietly. You can't do that. So somebody told me, you know, that he saw that many yeshivas and many yeshivas are saying quietly. They're mamish, they don't know what they're talking about, because you see Rav Hanukkah says you have to say it out loud. I said, really? Okay. Did you say the bracha emes v'emuna, the emes v'yatziv v'nocha v'kayim? Did you say that part out loud? He says you have to say the beginning and the end of the bracha out loud. But you didn't say the beginning, emes v'yatziv v'nocha out loud. Right? So you didn't say the beginning of the bracha. Allah, you said the word emes. That doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Or what about Avraham? You're saying you have the kali, you have to say the beginning of the bracha. Although, so Habachirah you said Be'ava, you said Allah. Did you say Avraham? Hashem lekino avtona. Hashem lekino Allah. No, you didn't. So Lee, don't argue with me, Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin holds. You want to do Rav Henkin right? The Chazan has to say six things out loud during Birkas Krisha in the morning. He has to say the beginning of the bracha Yitzhar out loud and the end of the bracha out loud. Yitzhar Marist. Beginning of Avaraba out loud and the end. The bracha Yisrael out loud. Emes V'yatzi V'nochem V'kayim out loud and Goa Yisrael out loud. If you do all six, you can argue Rav Henkin to me. If you're not doing numbers 3 and 5, don't argue number 6. Right? You say you're not saying Yitzhar out loud. You're not doing number 1 out loud. You're doing number 2 out loud. You're not doing number 3 out loud. You're doing number 4 out loud. Mm. You're not doing number 5 out loud. You're doing number 6 out loud. You know, stop. You're not doing the Tzagana. But don't argue. Your goal is over here to Mekayim to Kodesh Chazal based on what Rav Henkin said when you're not more discovered what Rav Henkin actually said. That's what I told him. I said it probably that level of passion. When I, you know, like throwing a chub at me when you don't know what he really said. But that's interesting. Here we have an example of people being makbid, not exactly other cases, we're people being makbid on one thing, saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. We're missing the point still. Because that wasn't his point. The point wasn't to say the last thing out loud. The point was to say every beginning and every end out loud. So, another example of people... Now, so what's Takab Shah? The people say it quietly. They say that even though the original Takana of the Chazan saying out loud was relevant, mm-hmm. since nowadays mm-hmm. our minig really is to not be simich of the Chazan. So if you say quietly, you're not, it's not a concern in the Takana. And the best point is no shout of the bracha of the Matal over there.
Where is
what I would find? What I would find. Even more challenging is I once had this to somebody, pointed out to somebody, this person was mocking to say, God, you saw it loud. Their Chazar Shashat, he says, Moidim quietly. Because people say Moidim, so he says it quietly. So Mishabura says very clearly that Moidim has the paragraph of Moidim, you have to tell loud. He says, why? Because Chazar Shashat, you already said your own tefillah. So what are you doing now? You're being mocked to the Tzibur. You must say, you have to say the bracha out loud. See, you have to say the paragraph, avoid him out loud. So the fact that they're also saying it doesn't affect anything. You have to say it out loud. So he argued, if you're being makbid to say God is out loud, because that was the takana, which over there, bin yavid, is not a bracha batala. Because you as an individual have a key to say these brachas anyway. Chazar Shazat, but you have no key personally to say. You're only saying the doing to the Tzibur, you say it quietly. Mm. So you say that part of Chazar Shazat, which it's a question of Brachal Batala. Mm. And the argument is, well, it's a key of doing it to the Tzibur. Well, you better say it out loud. Then he says quietly. Gawai Yisrael, it's not a Brachal Batala, because in my you have a key to say your own Brach anyway. Well, it's a key to the Tzibur, you have to say it out loud. Right? So he argues over here, he says out loud because he's worried about being much of the zebra. Over here, he says quietly, he's never been much of the zebra. So I pointed out that probably would not be the best way of doing it. I said, I think you want to be careful if you want to be makbid to say out loud over here. I would clearly strongly advise you to say out loud during Chazar Shashat as well. Okay.